Last week, of course, as we know, was the first Sunday of Advent. And there's a sense in which the first Sunday of Advent is sort of like a Catholic New Year's. It begins our liturgical season afresh. And one of the things that happens on the first Sunday of Advent is we begin the new lectionary cycle. The readings for Sunday Mass follow a three-year cycle. Now, I think that the names that the church has given to the cycle is just a little bit bland. They are, wait for it, called year A, B, and C. I think we could have done a little better than that. But each of those 3 years draws primarily from one of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Year C, the year that we just began, is the year where we read primarily, on Sundays at least, from St. Luke's Gospel. Now see, since each of those years lines up with the Gospel, why don't we just call it the year of Luke rather than the year of C? Anyway, just a little pet peeve of mine. But we're drawing primarily from St. Luke's Gospel. And of all of the Gospels, I think when it comes to prayer and meditation, St. Luke's gospel is my favorite. It just seems like it's easier to pray with. For example, St. John's gospel is very, very lofty. Now, St. John, he was fluent in Greek. He understood the Greek language, and he used some of this Greek rhetorical stuff to really look at the theology of who Jesus is, which is really important. But you end up with passages like, he is in me, and I am in him, and we are in each other, and I'm left scratching my head when I have a passage like that for meditation. Mark and Matthew's Gospels, a little bit easier than John's, but Mark's, of course, is so short. You read the whole thing, it's like, well, and immediately this happened, and immediately this happened, and immediately this happened. It's sort of this breathless race through the story of the gospel. It is, however, nice to read Mark's Passion on Good Friday because it is so short. But Luke's gospel is my favorite. A little bit about St. Luke. Tradition holds that he was a physician and that he, like John, did write the gospel originally in Greek. Because of this, Luke presents a slightly different perspective. First of all, he writes at probably the highest level of formal education of any of the four gospel writers. But because he's a physician, there's something also a little bit different about his writing. He recounts more examples of physical healings and cures than any of the other gospel writers. And he also gives a little bit more detail about them. Naturally enough, if it's true that he's a physician. Incidentally, it is also true, tradition holds that he was an artist and was the first one to paint an icon of the Blessed Mother. Luke's gospel is incredibly important for us because I think as it forms the first part of the two-volume work, remember, St. Luke also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, it gives us a unique insight into the life of Christ. There's an introductory paragraph to the Gospel of St. Luke that actually is not read at Sunday Mass at all. I want to read it to you because it gives us an important thing to consider. This is right at the very beginning. Chapter 1, verse 1. St. Luke says this. Inasmuch have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as they were delivered to us by those from whom the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seems good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the truth concerning the things of which you have been informed. There's a couple of key things now. First of all, who's Theophilus? Well, Theophilus, the exact identity of that person has been lost to history. But the root of that word is very interesting. Because the first part, the root of the word, Theo, divine, from which we get the word theology, the study of the divine. And there's a connection to the second part, philos, with a loose connection in its root to the word love. So what this name means is lover of God. I suppose in a sense it's probably good that the exact identity of Theophilus has been lost to history, because we could say that St. Luke's writing this to us, people who love God and want to know who God is. But here's another thing. St. Luke is talking about having studied this for a while. So he would have read the other things that had been written about Jesus. But it also says that he spoke to eyewitnesses. We think that St. Luke wrote the gospel not too many years after, probably about somewhere around 20 years after Jesus' ascension. So eyewitnesses would still have been there. He would have talked directly to the people who knew our Lord during his public ministry. This is all important because what we're talking about here is a historical account of a real person based on written testimony and eyewitness account. A couple of years ago, there was a survey done in Great Britain looking at the religious practices of the English people. And one of the things that came out of that survey that was a bit surprising was that the majority of the people, even amongst self-identified Christians, held it that Jesus was a figure of myth and legend rather than a historical figure. Now, myth and legend is important. It can convey certain spiritual realities, that's true. Myth and legend has always had a place, even in Christian society, as a way of symbolically explaining the meaning of the world. One of the greatest examples of modern myth and legend is the story of the Lord of the Rings. And certainly anybody who has seen it or read the books can definitely understand that there's a sort of spiritual reality that's being conveyed in it. And it can inspire the soul to strive after the grand adventure of good and evil. There's unfortunately one person here at Mass this morning who I know with certainty has not yet watched the movies or read the book. And I have given her a very difficult time about this over the years. And someday, I hope my mother will actually watch the show. But Jesus is not the stuff of myth and legend. Jesus is a historical reality, a real person. His public ministry took place at real dates and times in real places with real people. And this is incredibly important for St. Luke. He begins his gospel that way, but we also hear in today's gospel that he's rooting what he's talking about in a very specific time. The 15th year, the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, Tetrarch of Galilee, and so on. He never misses the opportunity to remind us that this is a real event in human history. Now, why did so many people, even Christians who were in this interview, struggle with remembering this? Well, there might be a number of reasons, but the one that comes to my mind is that we live in a time when fiction and reality can be easily confused. How often have we watched a movie where the special effects make it seem so real? Or how often have we not watched the news or experienced something in our own life of great impact and we say, it feels like I'm living in a movie? Because of the way that we experience fiction today, primarily through visual and auditory impressions rather than reading it, our understanding of the separation of reality and fiction is very difficult. And as we read the Gospels, we can be sucked into this view of it as a work of fiction rather than an accounting of a historical event. We have to be on guard against this. Because even though myth and legend and fiction can inspire us, raise our thoughts to greater realities, strengthen our will to pursue virtue, it still lacks the essential quality of authentic Christianity. That Jesus is a real person. And his life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection means that he is alive today. He isn't merely a historical person who lives only in the past, but is alive now. The prophet Isaiah, quoted in today's gospel, says that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh. Not just simply those who were fortunate enough to be alive in Galilee and Judea about two millennia ago. Never said I was good at math. The idea that Jesus is alive today has to continually be brought back to our minds. We have to see this truth, this reality. My favorite part of the gospel last week was, be ready, your redemption is at hand. The redemption, the salvation of God. This is not an event that happened a long time ago in a place far away. It's not the stuff of myth and legend. But it is the true objective reality that we live in today. That Jesus becomes present to us at Mass in the Most Holy Eucharist. That we come face to face with the Lord. That the prophet Isaiah saying that all flesh shall see the salvation of God means that we will see the salvation of God in our life today in reality. That our redemption is at hand. That we must prepare for meeting Christ on that fateful day of our own judgment. This is not myth and legend. This is the truth that we profess and live by. Do not let these days of Advent pass by without begging God for the grace to be able to deepen our daily prayer life, to receive the sacraments, especially confession frequently, to grow in holiness, character, and virtue, and to be able to stand ready for our redemption that is at hand.